Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hi, it's Ken Bongo from Living for the Dead, now on Hulu and Disney Plus. And lucky you, you're listening to Hillbilly Horror Story with my buddy Jerry. Enjoy it.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 402 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
As usual, we want to give a big thank you to all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Special big salute to all the civil servants and emergency people out in Oklahoma and the surrounding states, a lot of tornado damage and stuff out there. So, and of course, the 911 workers and cops and everybody, paramedics, everybody was out working their best of their abilities to try to help the people in need.
I know they are so busy. And unfortunately, I've seen where we're supposed to get another round of tornadoes this week. Not here, but up in Kentucky and a couple places closer there, so I hope that doesn't happen. But we thank you guys so much for the hard work that you put in saving lives, and we just pray for you guys every day.
And as usual with these shows, we want to mention that if you are struggling with anything in your life right now, whether it be you're having a hard time finding a job, whether you're going through some emotional problems with family, whether it's maybe a divorce, or maybe you just got a child that's, you know, giving you all kinds of issues and you're just having a hard time dealing with. There's a million different things that go on that lead people into a state of depression. And we just want you to know that, you know, please talk to somebody, whether it be us, whether it be our group, whether it be a professional, just talk to somebody and don't let that stuff fester, because, you know, it's just going to end up being worse and worse on you down the road and lead you down a path that you don't want to be on.
That's exactly right. So you guys, please reach out to any of us. You can also call the crisis hotline at 988 and text 741-741. We love y'all.
I'm wearing my 988 shirt.
I know you are. I like that shirt.
I do too. All right. So before we get into the episode, and I think this is a really good episode, we're going to top it off with some special guests, Brian and Donna from Paranormal Adventures. They share some stories of, you know, their paranormal investigating, and they've been all over and going all over as well.
Oh, good, good. I bet they have some great stories.
They do have some fun ones.
All right. Thank you guys for doing that.
All right, before we get into the story, I'm going to bring something up only because this was a suggestion from a listener. I'm not going to give the name out, so if everybody gets mad, it's not their fault. But they suggested that we do a virtual tip jar on our website. Now, we've always had a donate button, but they suggested that we put dollar amounts on it, and if somebody wanted to just make a one-time donation, it just makes it easier. They don't have to put in a dollar amount. They don't have to try to figure out how much to give or what little. They just pick a box and it does a donation of a certain amount. I thought it was a cool idea, so we upgraded and did away with just a donate button, put that on there. So if somebody wanted to be kind enough to throw a couple bucks our way, or a couple
$100,000. Yeah. Oh.
So that's on our website, hillbillyhorrorstories.com. It's on the front page. So if you wanted to do that, that would be greatly appreciated. You don't have to, obviously. And we only ask if you are in a situation where you can afford to do so. Don't consider it a have to.
Right.
All right, Tracy, let's get into the story. So, you know, we occasionally will come back to do a deep dive on a subject that maybe we covered on a short or an earlier episode that we just kind of did a quickie version of. So back in 2019, we did a midweek episode on the Demon of Wizard Clip. It was only about 10 minutes long as far as the story. We had a special guest on that show, so it was a little longer than 10 minutes. But the story that we covered on Wizard Clip was 10 minutes. Oddly enough, though, somebody from the town of Wizard Clip, West Virginia, reached out to us and they asked if they could put that episode into their audio library as far as in their historic archives. And I thought that was pretty damn cool.
That is cool. Wow.
So, with that being said, I kind of went back and I don't even know how this got started.
Wait, what'd you say?
What?
You say
no, yeah, we get told them they could.
You got like Leah's hanging.
Oh, well, I just assumed
that yeah,
people
know.
Knew that we thought
I'm just kidding.
Something happened this week where it got brought up, and I thought, you know what? We covered that, and I went back and listened to the story that we did, the episode we did, and then I thought, well, that's a pretty cool story. So I started researching it, and there was so much more that we didn't cover on that little mini episode. So we're going to come back, and we're going to do the story justice by giving it a much better episode today.
Awesome, because I don't remember that episode.
Hey, we could have done it last week and you wouldn't remember.
Well, that's
it.
True.
All right. This is fun. I think I don't know how I missed all this last time. Sometimes people suggest stories to us, and if it's something that they just give a little bit of background on, I don't go into a deep dive search of it. And I'll find a small article and then I'll think, okay, this is it. But sometimes those articles don't have everything that goes on, and I think that's what happened with this particular episode. All right, Tracy, so we're going to talk about what may be the very first poltergeist story in the United States. This predates the Bell Witch.
Oh, dang. Well, I wonder who made that assumption.
I don't know. I guess because they've looked at big stories, and they, this one goes back to 1797.
Nice.
So that might be why. So we're going to go to a place called Middleway, West Virginia. Like I said, we're going back to 1797. Now, of course, back then, there was no West Virginia.
Oh, okay,
it was all just Virginia.
Yeah.
And the city at the time was called Smithfield, Virginia. I love their hams.
I know, isn't that right? I like Boar's Nest better.
Boar's what? Nest.
What
boar's
is it?
Head?
Oh, yeah, boar's head.
Yeah, boars don't make nests. They tend to not lay eggs, though the eggs would be delicious.
But you know what, though? Boar's head is so good. Plus, it's expensive. Well, probably not compared to today, but sorry, I guess I'm hungry. Go ahead.
I don't mind the boar's head, but I don't like when they use their teeth.
Ew.
All right, so let's go back a little bit further than 1797. We're going to go all the way back to 1739, February to be exact. That's when John Adam Livingston was born in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's Amish country.
Okay.
Now, at the age of 33, it's kind of like Jesus. We just skip through all of it and just jump right to age 33.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the age of 33, he inherited his father's 70-acre farm, which, of course, was in Smithfield, which is now Middleway, West Virginia. So, are you following me?
I am.
Okay.
I'm right behind you.
In 1772, he moved his family there. He had three sons and four daughters and, of course, a wife. So Adam, as we're going to call him, John Adam Livingston, but he went by Adam. Adam Livingston and his wife, Mary, were devout Lutherans. that is going to play a huge role in this thing. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that's not exactly sure what a Lutheran is. Obviously, it's a religion, but it comes from the teaching of Martin Luther.
Okay.
Martin Luther was alive during the time of the Protestant Proclamation. That's right around the 16th century. He was eventually exiled for being a political enemy of the Romans. And Lutherans do believe that Jesus Christ is a savior and that he was crucified for our sins. So that's the same as most Christians. But there are some differences if you get into it. Now, I'm telling you this because it's going to come into play in just a little bit. So now, 1794. It's a very cold, rainy night. Picture this. The family, they're sitting in the living room. They're all huddled around the fire, trying to keep warm. They were eating their dinner. And there's this loud knock on the door. Three knocks. Bam, bam, bam. Adam gets up. He's going to see who's at the door at this time of night. Apparently, that was just a no-no back then.
Well, yeah.
Knocking on a door at 7, 8 o'clock.
Right. Plus, it's nasty outside.
Right. He opens the door, and there's an older man standing there completely drenched. I say older, closer to middle-aged.
Mm-hmm.
He told Adam that the wheel on his wagon busted. So he has no way of going anywhere. He has no way of getting it fixed until, you know, the morning at least.
Right.
So he wants to know, is it possible that he can spend the night? Well, Adam had a reputation for being a very kind and hospitable man in town. His wife, not so much.
But she don't want no strangers up in there.
Well, I think she just had a... I think the whole time I'm researching this story and I'm hearing about the two of them... I think about Little House on the Prairie. What's the Nellie's mom and dad?
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of way I take it, because she was always kind of just hoity-toity. He was always a little more on the nice side.
True story.
I think their family was kind of like that.
Harriet.
Is that her name?
Yes. Harriet Olson.
Okay. All right. So John says, you know, yeah, you can come on in and you can sleep the night here. His wife was not happy about this. She hardly even made up the temporary bed for the man, and she just kind of rudely showed him to where his sleeping quarters would be. Well, that night, the family was awoken by groaning coming from the man's room. Adam went up to go check on him, and the man said that he knew he was not going to live through the night. Well, John wanted to get a doctor, but the doctor was about 40 miles away, and of course, we've already established that it was storming outside.
I mean, had he had any signs that he was, like, maybe shot?
I think he coughed a little bit, or had a little bit of a cough, but that was it.
Oh, okay.
So, John's wife wasn't having any thought of him leaving to go get on a wagon and travel 40 miles in the rain. So, she told John that, you know, it's not going to happen. I'm sure he's being dramatic, and he'll be fine by the morning, so let's just let it be. Well, the man kept going on about, you know, how much he was in pain. He knew he wasn't going to make it. And he tells both of them that, in fact, he was so bad that he didn't need a doctor. He needed a priest. He needed a Catholic priest to come in and give him his last rites. Well, back then, Lutherans and Catholics didn't exactly see eye to eye. And you thought it was bad asking to go get a doctor. Well, Adam even made the comment that no Catholic priest would ever cross the threshold of his house.
God, that poor man's just striking out all over the place.
Well, I did a little research, and I found out that Lutherans had a very extreme idea of priest back then. And in fact, they felt like priests were like Satan's adversaries.
No kidding.
Some of them even had horns on their head and all this. This was their belief. So on top of that, there wasn't a Catholic priest anywhere near their farm. So the man, convinced he was dying, begged again for a priest. Again, Adam Livingston refused, and soon after, the stranger died.
Aww. I wonder how that made him feel.
I'm sure he felt guilty. So out of respect, Adam hired a man by the name of Jacob Foster to sit with the corpse. Now, there is some confusion on who Jacob Foster is. Now, what I am telling you, though, is all this that I'm talking about is true. So this isn't legend or myth. This is all provable stuff.
Oh.
Now, the Jacob Foster that was there, there are some reports that he was just a man that he hired to come in and work. There was another couple of stories I read that said that he was one of the family's slaves. And apparently, they moved down to the farm from Pennsylvania because in their area, the whole having slaves thing was really taking a wrong turn. And they were starting to get a lot of pressure about you can't own slaves, you shouldn't own slaves, it's a bad thing. So they moved down to Virginia for that reason. And so that's why some people say that this Jacob Foster guy was actually a slave and not just somebody he hired.
But why do you have to hire somebody to sit with the dead man? Why?
I don't necessarily know, but that's what happened. So Jacob Foster decides when it's nighttime, he's going to bring in some candles and he's going to put it all around the room so there's light in there where the body's being held. I don't know what the point of it was, but that's what they were going to do.
Well, it sounds nice, though. At least they're trying to...
Sounds nice. Like, he wouldn't fix him a bubble bath, too.
No, I know that, but it's better than being there in the dark.
Right. And I'm assuming, like I said, it's all out of respect. So Jacob comes in there. He lights all the candles. And then they all blew out. Even though there was no breeze in the room whatsoever, according to Jacob, he didn't feel any breeze.
Hmm.
So Jacob tries to relight the candles multiple times. Every time, the exact same situation happened. So eventually, he tells Adam Livingston about the situation. He brings in two candles that they were just using in the other room, thinking maybe the other ones were defective or something. I don't know how you have several candles all defective.
Well, I don't know either.
Unless it's like those birthday candles that you can't blow out. But this would be the exact opposite. So he brings in these candles and he lights them, and as soon as he does, they blow out. Well, this freaked Jacob Foster out so much that he fled the house.
Well, kind of makes you think. You don't want to be sitting there in the dark with a dead person.
Right. So the following morning, they got a bunch of help from some neighbors, and Adam buried the man on his property. Unfortunately, he was not able to mark the grave properly because the man had no identification.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's hard to know anything about him.
They didn't even know his name.
Yeah, that's so sad.
So they ended up writing unknown on the marker. Now, just so you know, on that land out there today, nobody's really sure where the body is.
No kidding.
Because the marker and stuff's been lost forever.
Right.
Tracy, soon after the burial, all hell would break loose. The entire Livingston family would be bombarded by the constant sound of horses galloping around the house.
I wonder what that's from.
Probably horses.
I mean, why is that being the thing that's making noise, I wonder?
I'm not sure, but on the very first night this happened, Mr. Livingston, he kept walking up and down the house, and he's looking outside, but there were never any horses outside. They could all hear them, but nobody could see any or figure out what the source was. It was then determined that the sound was actually coming from inside the house from the walls.
How did a horse get in the wall?
I don't know. If that wasn't bad enough, the following night, something would happen that would send fear into the entire family. As they're all sitting in the living room, they're just enjoying the warmth of the fire. Logs in the fireplace stood up on their end, floated a little bit, and they flew out of the fireplace.
Come on.
They were having to put out little small fires all over the living room. This happened night after night, so much to the point to where they had to quit using the fireplace, and they all just started wearing multiple layers of clothes to try to keep warm.
Wow.
So you would think that would solve the problem. Wrong. Various members of the family would go into their bedrooms, and of course they would find their bed engulfed in flames.
What?
I don't know how these families, where they had the beds, are constantly catching on fire, like at the store we did a couple weeks ago. I don't know how they keep replacing their beds. I mean, could you imagine if that was like a Tempur-Pedic? It was like a $6,000-$7,000 mattress? I mean, I'm guessing they didn't have Tempur-Pedic back then.
Oh, but. You think?
But even still, even if you just had a feather bed, that seems like that would be hard to replace. Or would you just sleep on one that's been charred?
Yeah, that's bizarre how that's happening.
So, I don't know. But that is what was happening. At nighttime, there was an array of sounds that would happen. Even more common than the horses' hooves clangoring all over the house were the bangs and the loud knocks that they would hear on the home's door late at night. So when Adam would get up to investigate, there would be no one there, as before. Then, the knocking would start to come from inside the walls, just like the horses. All of this would keep the family up night after night after night, and it would eventually make them sleep deprived.
Oh, I'm sure.
But if you think the family was safe from the paranormal activities during the day, you would be wrong. Because the family claims that they would see furniture move across the room and bash into the walls. Sometimes it would return to its original place, other times that it wouldn't. So they think this is what was happening in when they were asleep that was causing the bangs and stuff.
Yeah, all
the
that
house.
Noise, right.
Dishes would be thrown from the shelves and crash at the in the floor right in front of the children, who would obviously scream in fear when this happened. And then
I'd be just like, oh, that's one less plate we have to wash. Right?
Yeah. So the activity even stretched outside the house into neighbors' houses.
Oh, no. It went into other people's houses?
Yes.
Well, that's not right.
Well, we'll talk about some of those cases in a little bit. This is kind of one of the bigger things that would happen. This is another one of those parts that's got multiple stories to it. But angry men would come knocking on their door, and they wanted to know why Adam had strung a rope across the road, because it was keeping them and their horses from being able to get through this main thoroughfare and go where they needed to go. And Adam would tell them, I didn't put a rope across the road. He would go out there and continually move the rope, but it would keep being placed across the road.
Right.
Now, there's a different version of the story that says that it wasn't a physical rope, but it was an image of a rope that the carriage drivers would see, but wasn't really there. So it was like an illusion. So they would get out, and at one point in time, Adam was like, there's no rope there, grab it. And then when they would reach out to grab it, it would just disappear. So I don't know what's true on that side of the story.
Ooh.
But one of those two stories is supposed to be true.
Well, it's good to let the other people think that they're crazy
right.
at this point.
So about 4 miles from the Livingstons were the McSherrys. So they were an Irish Catholic family. They, too, were affected by what was going on. So one day, two of their daughters were bleaching a new piece of linen, and they left it out on the grass to dry. Now, how many times have I told you not to bleach linen and leave it out on the grass to dry?
Well, I know, because it's going to turn the grass not green.
The grass not green.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they didn't listen. They did it. They turned away just for a second, and this linen was gone. And you got to imagine, back during this time, that was a pretty big deal. I'm sure that was an expensive, you know, article back then. 3 weeks later, it was found folded up absolutely in perfect condition, sitting on top of a bush.
Well, that's really bizarre.
Yeah.
But I bet they were happy, though.
I'm sure they were, after they got in trouble for 3 weeks over it. But Tracy, there is so much more to cover, and I'll cover that after this quick break from our sponsor.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
All right, Tracy, when I started this episode, I said that it was about the Demon of Wizard Clip. And we're getting ready to find out how Middleway, West Virginia became known as Wizard Clip. This haunting started to become pretty well known in the area. The family thought that they'd been tormented every way possible, but there was still a surprise for them. They started to hear the sound of shears or large scissors.
Okay, so wait. Did all the neighbors know they were being tortured by something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and all the neighbors came to the yard because they made milkshakes. So, if you've ever opened and closed a pair of scissors, you know that sound it makes. It's pretty distinct. So that's the sound that they were hearing, no mistaking it. But it wouldn't just be the sound. They started to notice these crescent moon-shaped cuts in all of their fabrics, all around their house. Everything from their clothes to drapes to the fine linens on their table. Everything had all these little crescent cuts in it.
Yeah.
I don't know how... What kind of scissors these were? Were they make crescent cuts instead of straight?
I know. I mean, I would think that would take a little bit longer to do, but how annoying is that?
Right.
Put a star in there or something.
So once the area people started hearing about that, well, they started flocking to the house because they wanted to see, you know, what would happen. They wanted to hear these strange clippings and stuff. Men would actually take handkerchiefs out of their pocket, and then they'd find that it had been cut up, even though it was in their pocket. There was even a time when this tailor, he had a new suit to deliver to one of his clients.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know what was going on in the area. He was driving to his client, and he actually drove by the house where the Livingstons lived. And when he got to his destination and he pulled out the suit, needless to say, his client was not real happy. It was cut to shreds. And he didn't even know about the situation.
Whoa, shoot. Was it cut to shreds or like the other ones?
No, it was cut to shreds. There was another woman. She decided to come to the house and she had a hat on her head, but I guess it was one you could fold up. You know what I mean? More like a beanie or something. She folded it up, she put it in her pocket, and upon leaving, she pulled it out, and it had been cut into different pieces.
Damn.
There was one funny incident, though. So it was a group of young kids, boys, I should say, wanting to kind of show off for their little girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided they were going to come up there on the property, and they were going to show their girlfriends how brave they were. Well, they started dancing. One of the boys started to go all Zach Bagans and start taunting the poltergeist. They all start hearing the familiar snipping sound. And at that time, the back of the boy's pants fell to the ground, exposing his buttocks.
Oh my, how embarrassing.
I'd imagine that was pretty embarrassing for a boy to have his rear end seen by all of his friends and girls back in the 1700s.
Yeah, I can just see them giggling and putting their hands over her eye and then just running away.
Now, all that seems like a lot of fun, you know, in general, but it would become way more malicious. So one afternoon, Mary Livingston was in the garden, and she had a few friends over. I guess they were having like a little tea party or something. And this cute little family of ducks came, you know, waddling by, a little mama duck and a bunch of baby ducks. Then came the snipping sound. And right before their eyes, the ducks' heads fell off.
Dude, come on. Aw.
Instant decapitation.
Man, that's so sad.
And this was not an isolated incident. This happened to all the poultry that they brought onto their property, whether it be turkeys or chicken, ducks, any kind of birds that they brought on their property, this would happen to.
Well, eventually it's going to happen to them anyway, I guess.
Yeah, I would think they would just...
At least they went ahead and cut the heads off.
Yeah, I mean, if they were going to eat the chicken and turkeys anyway, you know, they're just saving them a step.
That traumatized me when my grandma did that. She took a big old axe and then she did it, and it was just really gross. Go ahead.
All right, so do we understand where the clip part of wizard clip came from now?
Yes.
Okay. But what about the wizard part? Tracy, this is where religion is going to start getting involved a little bit. Because at this time, the Catholics believed that it was demons that were responsible for acts like this. Where the Protestants believed that it was witchcraft. Somehow the Livingston family must have invoked the wrath of a witch. And if you look at the type of events that were actually blamed on witches those days, those are very similar to what we would call poltergeist activity today. So, same type of event, just a different entity supposedly responsible for it. The family dealt with the haunting for years and basically just called it a nuisance. Until the fires came back. That's when the barn caught fire and killed all of their livestock. Now, this was the straw that broke the dead cattle's back, apparently.
I'm surprised they've hung in there that long.
Adam realized that he needed to get help because his family was in danger. I mean, you know, when the pets' heads were falling off, I probably would have thought that that was the point where my family was in danger. But
yeah, definitely.
He waited till they had a barbecue. Adam contacted multiple Protestant ministers to come help. Well, first he spoke to his Lutheran pastor, but was told that they didn't really have the power to, quote, exercise in his favor. The power that had to be received from Jesus Christ and to expel the dark force from his home, they just didn't have it.
Well, that's a letdown.
He told Adam that the power only exists in the old times. So Adam went back to the drawing board and he tried a few other pastors. But they suggested that maybe this was a mental disorder and not paranormal at all.
Okay, well that's a dumb
thing. Because if it's one thing they knew about in the late 1700s, it was mental disorders.
Yeah, that was a dumb answer.
Or that maybe it was a prank of some sort because, you know, pranks make ducks' heads fall off.
Yeah, and they've been doing it for years. You think they get tired at some point.
Then he moves on to an Episcopalian minister. He was a Scottish immigrant named Reverend Alexander Balmain. Now, Brother Balmain did attempt to exorcise the house, but that didn't go well, apparently. The spirit supposedly took his prayer book and threw it into the chamber pot. Tracy, bonus points. Do you know what a chamber pot is?
No. Like a crock pot.
A what?
A crock pot.
No.
A crock pot.
They didn't have electricity then, so...
Oh, dang.
That would have been...
We could have put it over fire.
A chamber pot is... well, let's just put it this way. Have you ever heard the phrase, didn't have a pot to piss in?
Oh, yeah.
That's what a chamber pot was.
They peed in it?
And they pooped in it.
Oh!
When it was... Not everybody could afford one, but the people that had a little... Had it a little better, a little more money... They had chamber pots, so if they didn't feel like going outside when it was 10 degrees, they could just stay inside and use their nice little chamber pot.
Oh, it must be a thing, because I just watched an episode of Horrors today, and that's what she did, pooped in a pot.
That is not the same thing. Oh. That's just being lazy and a mental disorder.
Yeah.
No, you're not arguing on that one.
No.
So that's what happened. So it basically took it and threw it into a pot full of piss, or at least one that had piss or poop in it at one point. So that's not very respectful. That's where his Bible went.
No, that's an awful thing to do.
After this, several Lutheran pastors decide, you know what, we're going to come and help. Even though we kind of ignored you right from the very beginning and said we couldn't help, we're going to help. It was a lot like that movie we watched last night where the priest couldn't help and then he did come and help and get his head twisted and broke. So when these Lutheran pastors showed up, they were actually chased away with rocks and bricks and they were threatened by an invisible entity.
That's not being very neighborly.
No, it's not.
Just saying.
So the church basically was no help. Adam talked to a magic practitioner in the area. This wasn't successful either. Either these practitioners wouldn't help, or they would just give Adam the tools to perform the ritual, and he'd have to do it himself. But those tools, or those little herbs, or whatever they gave him, they would also get thrown in the chamber pot.
So they didn't even get a chance to try.
No. Tracy, there are several versions of the Wizard Clip stories, and each one kind of varies a little bit depending on the side of the fence you're hearing it from. You've got Protestant versions, and you've got the Catholic viewpoints. Most of what I'm going to tell you from this point on is coming from the Catholic versions of things, okay?
Okay.
So it might be viewed a little more biased towards Catholics, as you can imagine. After the failed attempts to actually get help, Adam had a very strange dream. In this dream, he sees a man dressed in a robe. He didn't know who this man was. He'd never seen him before, wasn't familiar with the clothes that he was wearing. Everything just looked completely new to him as far as what any of this stuff was. In the dream, a voice said to him, "This is the man who will bring you relief."
Oh man, I bet he's like, "Oh, thank you."
So he starts telling his friends and family about this strange dream. Remember we talked about the McSherrys, the Irish Catholics that lived 4 miles away. Well, they said, "You know what? I think you've tried everything else. You need to try a Catholic priest."
Definitely.
And they said, it sounds like what you're describing, that's what you saw in your dream. Well, we know how he felt about Catholic priests.
Yes.
But at this point, he was, you know, he's up against the ropes. I mean, he'd been doing this for years. He's tried everything else. And now he's like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. So the family is more than welcome to try to help him out a little bit. They call a Father Cahill, and he visited the home. Needless to say that Father Cahill was very skeptical of the events that had taken place in the house. He wasn't familiar with all the stories and stuff going on, and, you know, he's not one to just believe anything somebody comes to him and says, "Hey, the house is possessed,"
whatever the case is.
So regardless, he agreed to see if he could help. Before the priest even arrived, a small bag of money had went missing from one of the Livingston's trunks. This had been weeks before, okay? Mm-hmm. Not right before. It had been weeks before. When the priest got there and crossed the threshold, the bag of money appeared right on the floor.
That dirty little snake.
And Father Cahill was probably like, "Hey.
Well, y'all are going to reward me good. Heck yeah."
So Father Cahill went through the entire house. He said his prayers. He was sprinkling holy water. He completes his prayer service in the house. And believe it or not, things did calm down for a while. They didn't completely stop, but it was better than what it had been. So they had had no luck at all with anybody. Now they were having some luck. Within a week, they were contacting the priest again. The fact that Father Cahill had been able to get some activities stopped at least gave the family some hope. So when Father Cahill saw how terrified the family was for the second time, he got the church to actually approve an exorcism. Now, initially, it was to be performed by a Father Bradley, but because he became so terrified by the paranormal activity that was going on while he was trying to read the exorcism rites, he sent for Father Cahill to assist him. Now, as far as the Catholic Church was concerned, the exorcism was successful. But was it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mary Livingston wrote a letter that was actually printed in a local newspaper. She says in the letter, basically, that the exorcism was not successful. She said that the home was still plagued by strange activity. And this is when others, many of whom were actually connected to the church, began to blame Mary, claiming that she was behind what was going on, and she'd been playing a cruel trick on her husband for many years. So we're back to that again.
Yeah.
Not long after the exorcism, another stranger came knocking on the door. Tracy, I don't think I'd be opening the door for any more strangers.
Oh, well, I don't think so.
Last time they opened the door for a stranger, all hell broke loose.
Well, I think this is sounding like her revenge for letting him in the first place.
Well, this man was disheveled. He had no shoes on. He said he was on his way to visit a friend. And when he was offered some shoes, he said, "Oh, I don't need them because where I'm from, it's neither hot nor cold."
Interesting.
He then said that he was to teach the family the way to the Father. And he stayed with them for about 3 days. Most of the time, he taught them about the Catholic faith. And he was basically trying to convert them over. And apparently, he was pretty successful. So the man eventually left after the 3 days. Adam later referred to the encounter as a visit from an angel.
Something pleasant. Awesome.
Well, that might have led to the next incident.
Oh, man.
So a few weeks later, Adam saw a strange glowing light. It was in the corner of the room. But what really surprised Adam is when the light began to talk. The light claimed to be there to teach him about his new faith, Catholicism. It explained that it was once alive just like him, but it would not allow Adam to see what it looked like till the end of Adam's life.
Well, what good is that?
I guess it's just like every other religious being. You're not going to find out what they look like till you meet your maker. In some Catholic takes on this story, the light is seen as a positive source. And then basically to offer support and protect the family. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But Tracy, I have a hard time seeing it this way because this thing, this light, or this voice as they like to call it, would bark orders at them to pray day after day. It would wake them up in the middle of the night for prayer sessions. It told them that it was vital for them to fast for 40 days on multiple occasions. And eventually, the family got tired of this.
I mean, wouldn't they die if they didn't eat for 40 days?
I think you could make it 40 days without eating. You have to drink. But I think you could probably make it 40 days, depending on how much, you know, if you were a little healthier than others.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I that would be crazy.
So they got tired of it, huh?
Yeah. Then the voice would scream at them. It claimed to be channeling the voice of those in purgatory and that the family's praying would actually was the only way to save their lost souls. That's no pressure.
Yeah, right.
On some occasions, the sound of the voice would completely change. Sometimes it would claim to be a dead relative. And much like the poltergeist activity they experienced, it had the ability to control fire. Tracy had even burned a cross into a goatskin vest. Another time it burned a handprint into a shirt right before the family's eyes. Now, it wasn't just the Livingstons. The McSherry's family was also starting to get some activity down the road there. See if any of this sounds familiar. One night, a Protestant priest showed up at the McSherry's door seeking shelter from the storm. The family was kept awake all night by the sounds of loud, clanging footsteps. The priest, though, slept soundly all night. and claims to have not heard anything. Well, shortly after the priest left, Adam comes moseying on down the walkway there, and he knocks on the McSherry's door. He tells the McSherry's that, hey, you know that voice that's kind of at my house? It told me that God had disturbed them last night for harboring a minister of the devil.
Well, Lily didn't like that answer either.
So even though he wasn't there, the voice had told him that something had went on at the McSherry's the night before.
You think he's just getting bored with that family and moving on?
Maybe so. So one evening, Miss McSherry was placing her infant in the crib when the crib started violently shaking. It was rocking from side to side at an alarming pace.
Is that where the song came from?
The Cradle Will Rock by Van Halen?
No, Rocking My Baby in the Treetop.
No, because I don't think there was a crib up there. It was just in the bow.
When the bow breaks, the cradle will fall.
That's right. So I guess that makes sense. Well, of course, after this happens, again, the voice gave Adam a message to pass on to the McSherry's. It claimed that the devil was trying to destroy the child, as it knew it would become its enemy one day. Oddly enough, that little boy did grow up to be a reverend.
No way.
Yes.
Good for him.
The voice became increasingly cruel to the family. It would hide food. And this is one of my favorites. It would turn a meaty soup into water. That's what it said.
No flavor is what you're trying to say.
Right. I mean, you know, it is a good idea to stay hydrated. So. It then chastised Mary for not bowing to the Catholic Church rules. It lectured her and the family about sins such as vanity. Mirrors would actually break if the members of the family looked into it too long.
Oh, that would be a problem.
The voice would then be blamed for inflicting physical pain on the family. One time, Adam's son refused to do some chores, and his knee swelled up. It doesn't sound like much, but an infection kept him in his bed for 18 months.
Whoa.
The voice declared that the boy had suffered enough, and he instantly got better. One day, Adam was bent over with intense stomach pains. He says it was the pain from the souls trapped in purgatory. On another occasion, an apparition of an arm appeared and slapped him across the face for no reason. The voice would speak out of upcoming deaths and reveal family secrets and sins.
That's not cool.
It would know of events that happened miles away that didn't have time to even travel back to the family.
Damn, can't get away with nothing now.
At one point, the voice claimed that Mary was going to die in her home. So anytime Mary got sick, she'd go to a friend's house or a family member's house.
Oh.
She's like, I'm not dying in this home. Mary did finally die, though, in her home.
She did.
Yes, she did. Adam remained faithful to the Catholic Church and donated the majority of his land to the Catholic Church.
Very nice.
He lived on the very edge of the land for years and eventually moved back to Pennsylvania. He claims that the voice remained with him for 17 years before leaving. And in 5 years after it left, Adam died. I have no idea, obviously, if it did finally show itself to him or not.
So are you saying it followed him to Pennsylvania?
I don't know how long it was that he moved to Pennsylvania before he died. It might have left him beforehand, but he said it was with him from the time it started. 17 years.
That's a miserable life.
And Tracy, the land that he donated is still owned by the Catholic Church today, and it's in an area known as Priestfield.
Oh.
So that's the land where all that took place. That's the story of the Demon of Wizard Clip properly done.
Man, oh man, that's a lot.
About 45 minutes as opposed to 10 minutes the last time.
Yeah, I don't know how he survived that without going insane, honestly.
Who says he didn't?
Well, I guess he might have. But
it might have been what that little sudden voice was.
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe that stayed with him that whole time until he passed.
Yep.
I mean, that's not a happy life.
No, it's not.
And that's a shame.
All right, Tracy, so what do we got going on over there? Obviously, I want to touch on a couple of things. Again, the cruise is coming up, rapidly approaching. Has to be paid for by July. So if you've already been making payments and still got some payments to go, remember that deadline. And if you want to jump on board now, you're going to have to pay most of it up front.
Yeah.
If not all of it.
Looking forward to it, for sure.
Yes, we are very excited about it. I was just talking to Nick the other day about he can't wait either.
Oh, good. Good.
But he thought it was the Love Boat. It's not the Love Boat. But that's going to be fun. We have the St. Augustine show with History Goes Bump. That will be a full-blown show, projector, everything. It'll be the only one we do that way this year. Come see us there. Tickets are available on the website. And like I said, we put the virtual tip jar up there if you guys want to do that. That's up there. What do we got going on for reviews and stuff?
Well, we have two this week. Kay Cummins and Good Old Mojo Lobster never lets us down ever. Thank you guys for doing that for us. We appreciate it. And it helps us a whole lot. And I don't know about Patreons because you didn't look up.
I looked it up. We didn't have any.
Oh.
We didn't have any new ones for this week. All right, so let's go ahead and listen to our buddies from Paranormal Adventures, Brian and Donna.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hey guys, I've got a couple of special guests on tonight. I've got Brian Kramer and Donna Lyman from Paranormal Adventures. And these guys, they go all over the place. As a matter of fact, the website is paranormaladventures.us. And I think the .us is kind of fitting because when you were telling me, Brian, about some of the places you guys have been, it literally is all over the U.S. So tell me a little bit about the group itself, how it got started, and what do you think your main accomplishment has been so far after starting the group?
Well, the group is really just the people who are interested in this stuff. That's really it. We do host investigations. We just hosted one last weekend in Brooksville, Florida, at the most quote haunted location in Florida. And it's just about people getting together. I don't really post that much evidence at the moment. I'm hundreds of pages behind in getting stuff together. I have it all logged, but just interesting stories for the moment. When I get the actual web set up and running, I have a lot of tips and stuff that we can share with people based on our experiences. That's really, you know, what it is. And in terms of all over the place, I think we're up to about 8 different states right now, you know, over 200 and probably 20 investigations.
Nice. So Donna, how long have you been with the group?
As long as Brian. I guess we've been doing it a couple of years.
We
started 3 years ago, actually, practically to the day. And then Brian had, in the last couple of years, put the group together.
It's really because I got tired of a couple of paid investigations we were on. These guys like to overcrowd them, which just breeds contamination in your evidence. And I just resented it. And I'm usually not a follower. I've always been an organizer. So as I started organizing my own stuff, so I couldn't complain to anybody but myself.
So you're talking about more like the public investigations where, hey, everybody come out to the Sally House and there's 50 people and they all paid a certain dollar amount to be there. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, we do some of those. I mean, we do, you know, out of the, we've only hosted probably less than 10 times out of the 200 plus investigations. But, you know, if there's someplace good that we can help people get into and not have what I would call a paranormal gangbang, where it's just how much money can I get from these people? I resent it. So when I do an investigation, when we host one, it's going to be very limited, very small. And I know what works and what doesn't.
We're usually like 10 to 12 people maximum. So wherever we are, you know, we're not overcrowded, not everybody's on everybody's toes. Everybody's able to do their investigation and not have all kinds of noise and contamination with their evidence.
The other thing we do, it's always BYOE, bring your own equipment. I'm not here to teach you. No offense. That's not what we're doing. And the other thing I can't stand when you go to these things is listening to 45 minutes of a lecture of where I am. I can do my own research to where I am. I know where I paid for. I don't need to hear you talk. You paid to investigate. You know, like the one we did, I basically do a 5-minute introduction, if that much. This is where we are. I'll send everybody links of where we're going. You want to come to investigate. You didn't come to hear me talk, because I hate that when I go to something.
What's the main reason that you got into paranormal investigation? Some people, it's to find the truth of an existence beyond this plane. For some people, it's to help other people. What reasons did you guys get into the paranormal field?
Well, Brian, for many, many years, was watching Ghost Adventures.
And she mopped.
I'm sorry.
It's a show called Ghost Adventures. They're very popular.
No, and I used to think it aware.
Was just stupid. I'm like, how could you? Why? It looked just so stupid. And then, you know, I started getting into a little bit, and then...
No, that really wasn't it. I mean, yes, first of all, she mocked the crap out of me. She literally would walk out of my son and I watching the show. And I didn't really believe in anything. I didn't think these people were lying. I didn't really think one way or the other about the manufacturing evidence. I gave it really no thought. I thought it was interesting. But then the show Paranormal Caught on Camera came on. That intrigued Donna. And that's where she said, wow, this might look like fun. And then we went on our first organized investigation. And I got my own evidence at a cemetery on Halloween in Tampa, my very first EVP. And that literally was what changed. I didn't, like I said, I didn't believe in anything. That changed my mind completely, because I couldn't, as Donna's heard me say 100 times, I couldn't argue with myself. I know there was nobody in that entire cemetery. And I know I got a voice on my recorder that came out of nowhere.
It really just started out for fun, just to see, you know, what we can get, if we can get anything. And then it just kind of grew from there.
So now do you ever take on investigations like residential, where somebody calls and says, hey, I'm having an issue, can you help out?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we've done several homes mm-hmm. all over Florida. We were in Stark, Florida. We were in Ocala. We were supposed to do another one in St. Augustine. We're actually going back to Savannah to a bed and breakfast, who will remain unnamed, that we stayed at a few months ago. I picked it because it was from the 1800s. It had no publicized history of being haunted. And I really try to specialize in finding places that nobody thinks about. And we walked in the door in our room, and in 2 minutes, I had my equipment set up. And they said Donna's name in 2 minutes, because we always introduce ourselves. And in 2 minutes, they said her name. And the next day, the ceiling fan light went on by itself at 7 o'clock in the morning. I thought I rolled over the fan, but the remote was on the table. And that morning at breakfast, I told the person, because I didn't advertise there were investigators, that in case they would tell me no, I told him what happened. He goes, hey, we have ghosts here. So he was so excited about having us there, he made us investigate the house a bit. And he just asked us literally 2 weeks ago to come spend 3 days. He's literally not booking anybody. We're going to have the entire place to ourselves to investigate the whole place for 3 days. So yeah.
That sounds like fun.
It's going to be great. They've had guests in the last month or so, 3 separate guests, different times, all have experiences.
You guys just finished up an investigation over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
Brooksville. Yeah.
The May Stringer House, which we've been to a couple of times. Super haunted, great evidence there. They have an attic that is really, really creepy. And we've gotten some good evidence up there. So there was one gentleman that was with us, and he, you know, after being there a couple hours, he came down from the attic, like running, scooting down the stairs, going there was a voice, and that voice told me to get out. So I'm leaving. Goodbye.
And of course, us being
and
us.
And we run upstairs.
Exactly.
So he's running out the door, you're running up the stairs.
Right.
No, and all I said was no refunds.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're there to investigate. You don't want to run away from it. You kind of run to it.
Yeah. And that's the picture. I know I sent you that screenshot of Donna sitting with a little figure in the kids' room on the XLS camera that clearly nobody doubts that's some little person sitting behind her holding what looks like a teddy bear. Yeah. And in the doorway, which I didn't even see for weeks, it appears to be the part of a person standing in the doorway, their outline against the doorway, watching us. When I asked the administrator, they said, oh, we capture people in that doorway a lot. So that was pretty crazy. And actually, I saw what I believe was my very first shadow figure last weekend.
Nice.
Yes.
So how did that make you feel, seeing a shadow figure for the first time?
I still get goosebumps right now. I thankfully had a body camera on and my full spectrum camera. Since we're preparing for our trip on the West Coast on Wednesday, I haven't even thought about looking at any of that. But when I confirmed with the person who's in charge of that museum on that Monday we came back, I said, I think I saw something walk from the dining room to the doctor's office. She said, oh, that's the doctor. I've seen him for 20 years. So the fact that somebody else saw the same thing I did, even if I didn't capture it, I know I saw somebody. I saw the legs and the full figure. It was crazy.
But, you know, some people consider shadow figures to not be humans at one time. They're more of a different type of entity. What's your take on shadow figures?
I don't really have one. I'll take whatever I get. It's okay by me. I don't need to define it. I'm not here to analyze this stuff. This was the shape of, I know what you mean. I've seen things that look like blobs. I've seen, you know, the real video on television of stuff that does not look like it's a human figure. Who's to say that it isn't a human figure that just can't take full shape? I don't know. I know what I saw. I clearly saw what the shape of a person standing up, and I saw the legs, you know, as they walked across. So who's to say there aren't both?
Well, here's a question for you, because we got connected through a Facebook group, Haunted Florida, and I had mentioned that I was new to town. You guys obviously have done a ton of stuff in Florida. Give me 4 or 5 locations in Florida that you think are the most haunted by your experiences, not necessarily the list that you would see on, you know, History Channel or something. What are 4 or 5 places you guys have been to that just blew you away?
Well, I think for me, it was the old jail in St. Augustine. That was the first time I feel like I got touched in there. We were in a cell and something swished by my hair. And, you know, we were new to it then, but that's what I'm told it feels like.
Like spider webs, you
like
said.
like you're walking through like spider webs. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, we had that there. We had another. The lady that was running that investigation had this an XLS camera or an SLS camera that you can explain how the
she
how
killed it. She'd watched Annie, whatever her name is, on Kindred Spirits before, and she's standing there. I was across in another part of the jail, and I hear her screaming my name. So I come running across the jail, and she's standing in front of the camera with her hand out. So she did what she was supposed to do on TV, and she said, "Can you touch my hand?" And she was telling us, we're behind the camera, and we're watching the SLS camera. It was an S, not an X at that time. And she's telling us where these three spirits, these three shadow, these two stick figures were climbing all over her, and she's telling us where they are. We're not telling her.
Yeah, I was able to feel, it's almost like static electricity. So I felt it on my forearm, and I told them I'm feeling something here. And Brian and the woman said, it's touching you. It was like caressing me in the same place that I felt it.
And we also
having not seen it myself.
It also looked like one of them was like on her bag, was trying to get into her bag. And that we actually have on our Facebook page, as part of that SLS video. That was pretty crazy. I also pissed off the warden in there. I said something about his kids. We tried to remember yesterday what he said to me, but it was a clear Class A S spirit box response. And we don't use apps. We use real spirit boxes that he got indignant. And I just laughed, said, I can even piss off a spirit. It was awesome. In answer to your question, we've gotten some really good stuff. We try to not stick to offbeat if we can. That isn't the places that everybody's going to. The Fort Dade battlefield in just outside of Mayaca. I think we captured residual cannon fire. We brought cap guns as a trigger object that we shot off. And at one point I said, you want to hear me shoot my gun off again? And on our SB-11 at the time said, yeah. So we shot the gun off again. And then deep in the background, I swear we got residual cannon fire. I got one of the best, as you said, about not asking stupid or boring or repetitive questions. We always go into this trying to ask questions that everybody always isn't asking. Why should you want to talk to me is how I always look at everything I do. And I asked, we're in a battlefield from 1830. It's pre-Civil War, but it's still deep South. And I said, what do you think about the United States having a black president? And clear as day came out of our spirit box, blasphemy. one of the most relevant answers I ever got. That was pretty amazing in Florida. Even if we were just in Fort Christmas Cemetery by Christmas, Florida, this past weekend, also on the way to May Springer. And we've only done not even an hour there, and we've gotten really, really good activity there too, including a full name.
Oh, wow.
So I matched up that name on a Confederate website to the same. This guy was like out of Illinois, but a full name, same name.
Donna, give me an instance where maybe you felt like you bit off a little more than you bargained for, as far as maybe there was something that kind of scared you a little bit, where you're like, I wouldn't really signed up for this.
Yeah, we were at a cemetery in Merritt Island, which is near Melbourne.
Yeah.
So we went at night. Brian and I went together alone at nighttime. It's 10 o'clock at night, pitch black there. We walked onto the cemetery, and all of a sudden I heard like footsteps in the like the crunching of like branches kind of thing. And you know, I heard that and I wasn't sure. I didn't say anything.
Neither did I.
And then we heard it again. And I looked at him like, did you hear that? He's going, yeah, I heard it the first time too. And then we had a...
I pulled out the thermal camera.
Yeah. Thermal camera will show red if something is alive. And we pointed it all around in the area. We heard the sounds and there was nothing living over there. So, and it clearly sounded like footsteps. It didn't sound like an animal. Like it
wasn't shuffling or screaming.
Right. It was like definite footsteps. That totally freaked me out. We left.
No. Then we heard it again the third time.
And then we left.
And she's like, we are out of here.
And, you know, and we've never done cemeteries alone at night.
After that. Only with other people.
We've done it with another friend of ours usually and joins us for that. I will not go there alone again. That freaked me out.
Brian, same question. Have you had an instance that kind of freaked you out more than you thought it should have?
No, I'd love to have that. we watch all these shows and it's like, I want to know what's going to make me run. I really do. I hope it happens one of these days. I've had some really freaky things. We've been cursed at. We got cursed at last weekend in May Springer again. You know, we've been cursed at. I've been what I call REM podded out of a room. You know, do you want me to leave? And the REM pod goes off in response to me asking that question. I've been REM podded out lots of times. But no, I have yet to find something that's freaked me out like that yet.
This is for both of you. We'll start with Donna. Give me one of the most gratifying situations since you started doing this. Was there an instance that somebody was so thankful that you were able to help them with a problem, or something where maybe you got an EVP or something of a child that just warmed your heart, something like that?
I don't know. Did we get
it? It might have been sitting at May Springer with that kid sitting with you, you know? And that was pretty, you know, like they wanted to play with you.
Yeah, like at the actual time, not really. We'll see things or hear things when we look back. If we look at something or we're listening to the recorder, I'm trying to think of what, I don't know.
I have an answer for that one. I was at the USS Intrepid in New York twice investigating. I do what I call guerrilla investigating, which is I'm going to go do it until you tell me I can't do it. So I'll do that any place, including the Mob Museum with the Saints Valentine's Day Massacre wall and the bullets they pulled out of those guys. And the first time I was there, I got some stuff which was mind-boggling. So, in fact, I do. I'm still dumbfounded every time I get something. It's still absolutely, since I didn't believe in anything, is shocking to me. So the second time I went back prepared, if you're not familiar with the Intrepid, it's an aircraft carrier in World War II. And about 60 or so naval men were killed during a kamikaze attack in the hangar deck. So in the hangar deck, this time I went back prepared. I brought a separate recorder with the recording of a kamikaze plane. So I sat down there, set up my spirit box, set up my recorder, I press play, and you hear a kamikaze plane coming, and then this voice, clear as day, class A, saying, really fast, but absolutely make audible, the enemy is coming. Unbelievable. A little bit more down the road in the same location, because I always try to ask, what if there's something we can do for you or help you out with? I said the same thing, and this voice came back and said, what would you like us to know? And it said, that we're heroes. So I still got goosebumps thinking about that now. I was at the Trade Center location. I grew up in New York. I was there at 7 years old when it wasn't finished yet, wouldn't go up with my grandfather. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I put on my recorder first, then I hit it in my spirit box and said hi. and at least like 15 to 20 different voices in like 20 seconds said hi. That was crazy.
Yeah, I could definitely understand how that kind of could send the goosebumps up and down your spine.
Yep.
Well, let's do this. Let's talk about, I'm going to let you tell me a story, your favorite story from your paranormal days in the last couple of years. Which one just stands out above any of the others?
I have a lot, but honestly, it's probably my favorite EVP. And we've gotten some really great stuff. Really, really great. But
Ghost Town?
Yeah. We were in Utah at the Grafton Ghost Town, which is where they shot Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Sun drops keep falling in my head. It's literally that location. Mm-hmm. Buildings are still there. And we did about an hour, hour and a half. And it's like 6 p.m. We've been on the road all day. And it's 110 degrees. And Donna runs back to the car. And I'm leaving behind her. And I turned around saying to myself, literally, I'm probably never going to be back here. I turned on my recorder. And I said, this place must be really spooky at night. Turned off my recorder, jumped in the car, pressed play. And this was absolutely on our page. And you can hear this. It is so clear. You can hear it another floor away. Yeah. Donna heard it a floor away on Saturday when I played it for some other people. And I just said, this place must be really spooky at night. And this voice just goes, oh, yeah. What an EVP.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I mean, it's literally somebody standing right next to me answering me. Unbelievable. That's one. I'm going to give you one quick one. I know you said one. We were at a fort in outside Savannah. It was the last stop of Sherman on his march to the sea. And the Union had overtook the Confederates. And I said, there must be a lot of Confederates here. And this voice with a Southern drawl on my spirit box said, they're not. Just like that. I'm like, wow. I got a freaking soldier standing right next to me responding. Unbelievable.
Nice. Well, guys, tell everybody how they can keep up with you on social media, or how they can contact you if they need to. What's the best way?
Well, you can find me on Facebook directly, Brian Kramer. There's a cartoon of me. That's if you want to send me a direct message. Our group is paranormaladventures.us. That's our Instagram and our Facebook page. There's a space between adventures.us just for compliance purposes. So it might be easier just to find me personally with my cartoon, that with my Ray-Ban sunglasses on. And that's probably the best way. If you want to join the group or keep up with us or come with us on an investigation, just bring your own equipment.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming on and spending some time with us.
Thank you for having us.
All right, guys, that wraps it up for us this week. Thank you so much for everything you do for us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Have a blessed week. We love you guys.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.